Good morning, and welcome to the New Life broadcast brought to you by the Emmanuel Baptist Church. We hope you'll listen in every Sunday at 9:30 on 93R. Emmanuel is located at 1710 23rd Street near the City Park in Parkersburg. If you have a question or desire more information, call us at 304-485-5171. Our website is www.ebcwv.com.
The last of the Ten Commandments is... Thou shalt not covet, which means the final command was to check your appetite. What are you hungry for? What are you thirsty for? I read the testimony of a lady in a book I was reading, and it was a long testimony, but I'll just summarize it briefly. For a long time, she coveted drugs, and her life was filled with a desire for drugs, and she was enslaved by that. She was brought out of that through rehab, and then to fill the void, she started smoking. And for a while, she coveted smoking, and the calmness that smoking brought to her life. But then the doctor, of course, told her, it's not helping you. So she finally kind of broke her hunger for nicotine. And then she said, I began to covet the things around me, and I began to use my credit card, and I began to buy things. The things that I could buy online, as well as other things, and she filled her world with stuff. And she got into a huge amount of debt from desiring all these things. And finally, the Lord kind of spoke to her and said, you know, you need to be hungry for me and not for other things. And so she began a multi-year process of giving away or selling the things that she had purchase that she couldn't afford. And she said, as I gave away or got rid of all these items, it's as though I was kind of clearing this path around me, and all of the things that I had coveted suddenly had no power over me, and I began to desire God more and more. So I thought, there's so many things that we can have an appetite for that bring us down. I'll tell you right now, I covet football. Today's a big day. I just hope the officials, John, I just hope the officials are as good as you. John Alfred, who really, all the games that you've officiated, all the coaches and players have expressed their utmost appreciation for you. Yeah, and your calls. Yeah, you got to focus your anger on somebody, and the officials get it. You always carry what? An extra flag for coaches, yeah. An extra flag to let them have it. But today's a big day. I love my family, football. We gathered around the television and watched. I remember one of my youngest memories is my dad with a boxer named Kip watching the Green Bay Packers in the Super Bowl back in the 1960s. And it's a fond memory. So Super Bowl Sunday brings together a lot of what is very much American. It's big, it's glitzy, it's exciting, and yet I always think that America's into the Super Bowl. Jesus was into the water bowl. You remember he took the basin and a water bowl, and he bent down and he served his disciples and washed their feet. So although we crave the exciting things, and I'll be watching the game today, and being from Missouri, I have to root for the Chiefs. But or I'm rooting against Tom Brady, either one. But what are you hungry for? Another thing I covet are the cinnamon rolls at JR Donuts. Full of fat, sugar, lightly glazed dough with cinnamon swirled in, a year's worth of calories, a heart attack in a bag that I love. And I have a hard time driving by JR. When I get those cinnamon rolls, especially if they're still a bit warm and you can smell them kind of wafting out of the bag, even though Mona has told me I have a very nutritious meal for you at home, I cannot help but to kind of with one hand you can steer with one hand and you can open up the bag with the other and slip your hand in, and it takes kind of a quick motion, but you can pull that outer edge of the cinnamon roll and. Sometimes that cinnamon roll hasn't even made it home because you take one bite and you need another. Deep theological question, are there going to be deep fat fryers in heaven? Eileen would say no. I'm going with yes, because you get some of your best food deep fat fried, like those cinnamon rolls. Well, cinnamon rolls may not be your weakness. It could be chocolate or junk food. I'm thankful that on Wednesday nights, Jewel always makes a wonderful meal for us. And there's right now a small group of us that gather, but I hope more of you, as you feel safe, will come out and join us. I grew up with my mom always saying to me, don't spoil your appetite. Did anybody else? Anybody else? Don't spoil your appetite. What did that mean? She was saying, don't snack here. Don't graze over here. Don't be eating all the potato chips and the other things, because I have a meal for you that is good. And if you eat all the things that are bad, you're going to not have an appetite for the good things. And by the way, if you eat a lot of junk food, you end up needing to go on a diet. And a diet is that painful process of evaluating and questioning everything you naturally crave and hunger for. It's redirecting our hunger toward healthy food and drink. In this beatitude, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Jesus is calling us to check our appetites, our cravings, because they speak to the condition of our heart. One more confession, and that is, my dad got me started on this. I didn't know he was doing this. My dad buys a lottery ticket every day. But I told him, I said, Dad, when the lottery gets above 500 million, I'll go ahead and buy one. And so this was staring at me on my desk. And just a reminder that yes, I still covet a $500 million payout. Even though your chances of winning that are 1 in 2 trillion, still there's this sense that somehow if I hit it, okay, all of you are going to be in great shape. I don't care. I'm paying off Jonathan and Maria's student loans. I'm going to give money to the Capital campaign. And if you need something, I'm there for you. I'd keep a little bit in my savings account to cover me, and then I'd spend the rest of my days giving that money away to people that I know that could need it. So yeah, I still covet maybe hitting the lottery, even though I play once or twice a year. What are you hungry for? Is it a new car? Is it a house? Is it a raise? Is it a promotion? Is it an amazing vacation or a wonderful relationship? None of these are bad in themselves, but if they become your focus and you begin to focus on the things of earth, you can lose your hunger for heaven and for your heavenly Father. So what are you hungry for today? I want you to see this verse before you, and I want you to say these words from Philippians 3 with me. I want to know Christ, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, so somehow attaining to the resurrection of the dead. What was Paul hungry for? He said, I want to know Christ. I want to know the power of his resurrection. I'm willing to follow him into suffering so that I might one day see him face to face. So we're in a study on the Beatitudes, and we've looked at three of them. The first three Beatitudes really focused on what it meant to empty yourself before God. Poor in spirit, blessed are those who mourn, blessed are the meek. So the emptiness, blessed are those who embrace their poverty, blessed are those who mourn their brokenness, blessed are those who meekly seek to surrender to God. And so after three Beatitudes of emptying ourselves before God, the fourth Beatitude says, God, I'm empty. Will you fill me? Fill me with yourself. I hunger and thirst for you. And so as I was reading this and commentaries in the Greek, there were three things about this Beatitude that jumped out. So Matthew 5:6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. By the way, the Message translates, you're blessed when you've worked up a good appetite for God. He's food and drink and the best meal you'll ever eat. That's from the Message. And so first of all, the hunger described here, the word for hunger and thirst, it's desperate, not casual. This is not sort of a mid-afternoon stomach rumble. This is I'm going to die kind of hunger. Few in America have experienced real hunger. We haven't experienced, most of us, famine. Most of us have not experienced the kind of hunger that this verse is talking about. One of the nice things about going on a mission trip, which we're talking about one to the Dominican, by the way, you'd be thinking about that. But I've gone to Haiti 2 times, and I've gone to the Dominican twice. And in each place, especially in Haiti, I'll never forget, we were worshiping at a church in the north called Fort Liberté. And everybody around us were poor and wondered how they were going to get food that day. And we were praying the Lord's Prayer. And I'll never forget, we prayed, "Give us this day our daily bread." And the Lord just hit me right there in that church in Haiti. And I thought to myself, that's never been a real prayer for me. I've never wondered where I was going to get bread or food or even some of the basic things. And then I looked around me in that sanctuary and I thought, everybody in this room, it was a real prayer for them, because they didn't know where they were going to get bread that day. And of course, the ministry we were a part of not only fixed an orphanage, but also provided food. So we were there to address that. But how much do you want of God? Do you want God as much as a starving man wants food, as much as a man dying of thirst wants water? So we don't come to God full and righteous. We come to God empty, and then we say, "God, fill me." An old commentary had a story by Charles Allen about a young seeker who went to see a holy man in India, and he said he wanted to know God better. And the holy man took him down a path down into toward the river, and they waded out into the river, and the young man thought he was going to be involved in some kind of ritual purification process. And as they got deeper into the river, the holy man took the head of the young seeker and he shoved it under the water and held it there. And finally, the young seeker, thinking that the guy was crazy, wrenched himself loose and came up heaving for air. And the holy man looked at him and said, "When you were underwater there for a moment, what did you want most?" And the young man said, breathing heavily, "Air." And the holy man said, "When you want God as much as you just wanted air, you'll find him." I thought, oh, that's a good story, isn't it? We sometimes come to God, but we're not really that hungry. And this passage says you need to want God in a desperate sort of way. The prodigal son took the money, ran to the city, satisfied his every desire, and then found that he was empty. And Barclay has this great quote. He said, "To be hungry is not enough. I must be starving to know what is in God's heart for me." When the prodigal son was just hungry, he ate the pig's food. When he was starving, he got up and went home to his father. That's a keeper. Think about that. When the prodigal son was hungry, he ate the pig's food. When he was starving, he got up and went home to be with his father. And that's true of us too. As David says in Psalm 63, "You, God, I earnestly seek for you. I thirst for you. I long for you as in a dry and parched land where there is no water." So first of all, the hunger is desperate. Secondly, the righteousness is desired is total and complete. By the way, righteousness is simply having a right relationship with God. As I'm right with God in my heart and I know his love here, that love flows out of me into the lives of other people. John Stott said, biblical righteousness has 3 aspects, legal, moral, and social. Legal righteousness is that we are justified before God through faith. Moral righteousness involves good conduct and godly character that flows motivated by a spirit-filled heart. And then social righteousness means that we are honest with others in relationships and we seek justice for every person and freedom for anyone who is oppressed. So blessed are those who refuse to settle for just part of God but want all of God. All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. In my weekly email, I quoted this. If you saw that, you've seen this. We should never be like the person who said, "I would like to buy $3 worth of God, please. Not enough to explode my soul or disturb my sleep, but just enough to equal a cup of warm milk or a snooze in the sunshine. I don't want enough of God to make me love a black man or help a street person. I want ecstasy, not transformation. I want the warmth of the womb, not new birth. I want a pound of the eternal in a paper sack. I'd like $3 worth of God, please." You want $3 worth of God or do you want all of God? I sometimes worry that I treat God like a waiter. I call him when I need him. I expect good service, and if he takes care of my needs, I'll give him a tip. And I feel sometimes like we treat the Bible like a menu, And a menu is what you look at and you say, well, I like this and I like this and I'll order that and that. But the Bible is the totality of every good thing that God wants us to have. And so this beatitude would be like someone going into a restaurant where all the food is good and they look at the waiter and said, I want all of it. I want all of it. And I will come back every day until I have tried every dish in this amazing restaurant because every one of them is wonderful and I want to taste it all. And so today, when we come to God, we need to say, God, I love you. And every day I'm going to order something from your word. Every day I'm going to claim a promise. Every day I'm going to memorize a passage until I'm filled up with you from top to bottom. God, I want all of your righteousness, not just part of it. I want to know Christ. And so the hunger is desperate. The righteousness that is desired is total. And then the filling is full and overflowing. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. It's like David says in the 23rd Psalm, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. My cup runneth over, overflows. God, fill me, fill my cup, fill it up, and make me whole. Isn't that what Jesus said to the woman at the well in John 4 when it says, he said to her, everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water that I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up into eternal life. What Jesus promised the Samaritan woman is I'm going to come inside of you and this water of life is going to well up and overflow out of your life into the lives of others. God, may you so fill me that I'm filled up to overflowing. So the hunger is desperate, the righteousness is total, and the filling is filled to overflowing. It's very interesting that in the chapter just before this, in chapter 4, in Matthew 4, it says that Jesus fasted for 40 days, and then he goes into the wilderness where he was tempted by Satan. And what was Satan's first temptation? Jesus, 40 days fasting, was very hungry. Satan looks at him and says, if you are God, turn these stones into bread. He goes right at his hunger and says, if you have the power to make food for yourself right now, and then you can take that food and feed other people, and they'll follow you because you'll be the kind of Messiah who gives them what they want. And Jesus said, it's from Deuteronomy. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. He quotes scripture right back to Satan. Man will not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So Jesus shows us what it is to be hungry, to be tempted in that hunger, and then to focus his focus back upon God. The best passage that I could find that shows how we deal with this hungering and thirsting is Luke 24, the two men on the road to Emmaus. When the risen Lord comes and walks alongside them, they were hungry and they were thirsty for God. And this would be a whole sermon in itself, but as I looked at it, I thought, I've got to at least flow this out to you. I think I have a slide that I put in just this morning, and it kind of goes off to the side. But observations from the Emmaus story. As they were hungering and seeking God, number one, they weren't alone. There were two men walking together, asking their questions. There was someone holding this other person accountable. There was someone there for emotional support and prayer support. And so over and over again, you'll notice that at Emmanuel, we're trying to get you to get a prayer partner. We're asking you to maybe be part of a new Zoom ministry where if you have an interest, you might Zoom in or you might facilitate one of these so that we can make some connections so that we can hunger and thirst together. Jan Ashwell was good to write up the history of the Crusader class. And I think it started back in 1965 in the home of Hal Parker. And Jan and, there were some wonderful people there at the beginning. Jan Lee Ashwell, Pat and Charlie Riggs, Jim and Ann Davis and Betty Ball started the class. And next year in 66, they gave it the name the Crusaders class. President Bill Ott, officers were Bill Ott, president, Ann Davis, vice president, Betty Ball, secretary. Jan, you mentioned early on you didn't have money, but you had time, and they served, And so the Crusaders served in every area of ministry. They were involved at Parchment Valley. They helped with the Salvation Army. They did Red Cross blood drives. They started Tuesday Fellowship, and she lists all the people that were teachers through the years: Bob Butler, Gary Beal, Gary Prater, Lyndall Jones, John Keck, myself, Bob Byers, and Ken Barton all were able to teach. But that class is an example of people, the Crusader class is an example of people who came together over time, loved one another, served the church, and Jen will be the first to tell you that your life is better and enriched because of a class like the Crusaders. Now, they've decided to not continue to meet, but what a wonderful run. What a wonderful run from 65 until just this last year. And now they're kind of looking at other classes or maybe starting a new one. But what a great example of walking side by side. You raised your kids together, you know. And did you get some good advice when Kathy was, was causing you problems? Yeah. Yeah, she's here. Mona's going to get on me because I point people out and ask questions. They weren't alone. By the way, when COVID fades, those of you that are watching on Facebook and those of you on Zoom, I read an article this week that said when everybody's vaccinated, all churches are going to be down 25% because people are so used to watching online that they're not going to come back. And I am asking you and begging you that even though it's wonderful to watch online, there is something powerful about coming together in person. And I want you to pray now that when that time comes, that you will make the effort to be here. Because when we are here together, the Spirit, there's a feeling of the Spirit moving among us, and the choir is going to be coming back, we hope, sometime. And we're going to hear beautiful anthems and beautiful music. And there's something about that being live and in person that you just can't get fully online. So they weren't alone. Number two, they were hungry and they were searching. And I get this simply from the fact they were asking questions and they were hungry. You sense the intensity of their discussions and the depth of their emotion. And then I notice that when we're hungry, Jesus appears. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came alongside them. When you are hungry and when you are calling out to God, and you may not even know how Jesus comes to you, but Jesus is going to come to you through an angel or another person or a new insight. Jesus will come to you. When you are hungry, Jesus will find his way to you. When the student is ready, the teacher will appear. It's a great saying that I've always thought. When the student is ready, the teacher will appear. And so when you're hungry, Jesus appears. Years ago, I was running the rescue mission in Clarksburg, and there was a young man named James. He was staying there for a time. He came to a Bible study on the soils, the parable of the soils, I remembered. And he said to me, "I'm closed to this God stuff because my life's been painful." And he said, "If I'm anywhere, I'm in the weeds, and I don't see myself getting out." And I remember I looked at him and I said, "Just open your life a little. Just crack the door of your heart, and the wind of the Spirit will make his way in." And I'll never forget, the next day, James came to the Bible study again, and he had been working at Burger King, and he's back making Whopper or whatever in the kitchen. And because of the Bible study, he prayed a prayer. He said, "God, are you real?" And he's sharing this with us. And as he prayed that prayer, he dropped something on the ground, and he reached down to pick up whatever it was, and he looked, and under the serving table was a white card. He reached down and he picked up that white card, and written on a business card size white card was in all caps the word "yes." So he's praying, "God, are you real?" Drop something, bends down, card down there, and the answer was yes. And so James that day said, "I want to give my life to the Lord." He said, "Do you think there'll be..." We had talked about how when one sinner repents, all heaven rejoices. And James said, "Do you think they're rejoicing in heaven?" And I said, one word, "Yes." I said, the answer is yes. I'll never forget. He said, "I think I've cut my way out of the weeds into the good soil." Well, those are words. He said, "I cut my way out of the weeds and I found myself into the good soil." Jeremiah says, "You'll seek me and you'll find me when you seek me with all your heart." And so they weren't alone. They were hungry and searching. When you're hungry, Jesus appears. And then Jesus satisfied their hunger by showing them what the Bible said. This is Luke 24. And it says there, beginning with Moses and the prophets, Jesus explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. And I just want to give you one final challenge for the Bible project through the Bible. I've been asking you to join me. We're going through the Old Testament right now. If you go to BibleProject.com, you put your email in there, they'll send you every week the readings. Right now we're in the Old Testament and the Psalms, and then there's a video that will go alongside of these, as well as some weekly Bible studies. I have a testimony from Lynn Palmer. She said, "I found the Bible Project to be very helpful in several ways. One, I like structure. Two, I never considered trying to read the Bible all the way through, but reading a few chapters at a time seems doable. Three, I'm a visual learner, and I just love the animation from the videos that brings clarification. Also, they recap for you, and that's a good study habit. Thank you for guiding me to this. I am reading the Bible through the Bible for the first time." And so Jesus, as they were seeking, takes them to Scripture, and I'm wondering, how are you getting into Scripture? Consider that Bible project as a way to fill your life up with things that are good. These two men were facing a spiritual crisis, and when we go through a crisis, that can be the time that we maybe seek God in a new way. So whenever I'm facing or dealing with someone that's going through a nightmare or going through a crisis, we are dealing with the physical, emotional fallout, but I'm very much aware that they may be open to God in a new way for the first time. And I'm praying the whole time, God, give me the words to say. Recent survey found that Americans were 3 times more likely to report that their religious faith had become stronger over the last year. Many other countries, faith has gone down. In America, this last year has forced us to the end of ourselves, and we're calling out, and people apparently are calling out to God more right now. And so that, by the way, people, that's an opportunity for us. Your friends, your neighbors have just been through a year of hell. And they may not tell you, but they're wondering, does anything matter? Do I have a purpose in life? Is God there? Is God real? Someone texted me a while ago and said, "You know what? I don't know." She said, "I think God is angry at me. I don't know if God loves me." And I was able to text back and said, "Oh, God's not angry with you. He sent his son for you to show that he loves you. And if you call out to him right now, you can experience that love in your heart." That's where people are. That's where your friends are. And you might have the opportunity to help them as they hunger for God. The prodigal son didn't deal with his deepest spiritual needs until he faced a personal crisis. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. And whoever believes in me will never thirst." Let us pray. Father, we are thankful to you, and we think of Psalm 34, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the person who finds refuge in you." Father, your own son said in Revelation 3, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone will open the door, I will come in, and we will share a wonderful meal together." Father, you desire to come into our heart, and when you do, you give us a taste of that great banquet that we will one day experience in heaven. Father, that story that Jesus told, the banquet was prepared, and the invited guests were too busy. They had too much going on in their life, and so you went out into the streets, and you found people that were poor and hungry, and you invited them in. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, and they will be filled to overflowing. We pray that be true of us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to the New Life broadcast brought to you by the Emmanuel Baptist Church. Emmanuel is located at 1710 23rd Street near the City Park in Parkersburg, West Virginia. Our website is www.ebcwv.com. I'm Pastor Kurt Busick. We leave you with this important word from the Bible. "For God so loved the world that he gave us his only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life." God bless you and have a great Sunday.